This is God's gracious word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. In archery, it's very simple. You have a bow, you have an arrow, and you have a target. And sometimes you only have one shot. This was the case in the legend of William Tell. This is a legend that found its origination in Switzerland in the 1400s. According to the legend, on November 18th, 1307, William Tell was arrested for not bowing to the king. And he was forced to shoot an apple off the head of his son with a bow and arrow. He was a good shot. The stakes were high. He only had one shot to get it right. And so he pulled it back, he aimed, he let it go. Right through the apple, split it in two. And this, according to the legend, started the Swiss Revolution in the 1300s. Archery has some things to teach us about parenting. You only have one shot. Kids grow up. It breaks our hearts. But it's for a good purpose. There's a good purpose in parenting and having the one chance to invest in our children. As parents, we are desperate for grace, for God's blessings on us as parents. And the good news is God gives it. He gives grace to parents. So as we're going to go through this passage, these four verses, I want us to remember this is within the context of the family structure. We spent 2 weeks in Ephesians 5, looking at marriage, such a beautiful passage, perhaps the most beautiful passage on marriage in Ephesians 5. And there we learn the secret that when God had the first marriage of Adam and Eve, it wasn't about Adam and Eve. It was about Jesus and the church. It's about Jesus and his bride. That's what Paul tells us. He reveals that mystery to us. So there are unique roles for husband and wife in marriage, like the roles of a beautiful play, a drama that God has orchestrated, and he honorably gives them to husband and wife alike. So we looked at that the past few weeks. So now we go on to the children and their parents. And the first thing I'll say before we get into it is that the first and primary relationship of the family is between the husband and the wife. That is first. That takes priority. Children grow up, husband and wife stay together. But it is a beautiful thing, as many of us know, to have children, have those joyful relationships with our children. So what we're going to talk about today, the title of the sermon is Gracious Children, Gracious Parents, Gracious God. Gracious children, gracious parents, gracious God. So the main points follow along the title. I'm going to speak to the children today. The first part of the sermon is just for you, children. And I'm going to tell you to be a gracious child. Second part of the sermon will be for parents, future parents, parents of all ages. Be gracious parents. And it is just such a special providence that we have this sermon today on Mother's Day. I feel it's an honor that God gave us this passage to go through today. So let's get into our first point. And my gift to mothers, you can pray for me, is it'll be a short sermon. That's the prayer. I'm still a young, green preacher. Sometimes I plan things to go short and they don't, and I apologize for that. But today is the goal. So let's get going. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Children, this is for you. Paul says this, and this is God speaking to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. So I am speaking to the children. Can I see eyeballs? 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 All right, I see a lot of eyeballs. Can't see the young, little. Oh, hey, I see you. Hey there. This is for you, Ruthie. And you too, Jack. It's for you too. So I think the amazing thing in this passage that I realized this week is that Paul is speaking to the children there at Ephesus. He doesn't say, parents, make sure your children obey you. He says, children. He's speaking to the children. The Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of all time, who wrote much of the New Testament, he is speaking to children. This tells me that church is for children. It's for you guys. And this not just Paul that has a honorable view of you children, that cares about you. Jesus himself cares about you children. Thomas, Jesus cares about you. Do you know what he said? Jesus said, let the children come to me. He says, let them come to me. And then think about it, kids. It says in the Bible that God is our Father. He wants us to know him like you know your father. He wants us to understand him like a father and a child. So God the Father cares about children. The Holy Spirit himself, every person of the Trinity, cares about you children. The Holy Spirit is the one who adopts us. We have the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit care about you, Ruthie. They care about you. So this is so special. And I just want to start by saying, children, you are special to this church. And I'll tell you some of the ways. You do lots of things like help us set up and clean up the church. We love to hear you sing, children. We love when you're listening. We love how cute you are and when you play together before and after the service. We love that. It gives us joy. You guys are a blessing to this church. I want you to know that. This church is for you. So I have a question for you children. Do we love you because you obey? Y'all are right. We don't love you because you obey. No, no, no. We love you. Parents love their children. And the goal is that our love for you will make you want to obey. It is like that with God. God loves you. We love because he first loved us. And God's goal is that his love, his grace towards you, would make you want to love him back. So obedience to parents, just like obedience to God, doesn't make God love you. It doesn't make your parents love you. But a growing desire for obedience in a child is a sign of knowing God and loving God. It doesn't make God love you, but it's a sign that God's love is working in you. So it says here, children, I want you to hear this. There's a promise. A promise is something that someone tells you is true and it will happen. And here's the amazing thing. God never lies. So children, all the promises in the Bible are for you. As you learn to read, as you grow in reading, read the Bible and see the promises, and they are for you, children. So there's a promise. It says, if you honor your father and your mother, as you obey your parents in the Lord, it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land. Now, I would say this does not mean that if you honor your parents 100% of the time, you will have a long life. I believe what this passage means, children, is that you will have God's blessings, that your life will be happier as you generally obey your parents. This is in God's wisdom. He has set up the world that children are happier as they are in a loving, obedient relationship with their parents. You will have wisdom for a good life. You will have happiness in your home. You will have peace. You won't be in trouble as much. That's nice. And as you grow older, you'll have more freedom and more responsibility as your parents trust you. So it is a blessing. It is a joy for you, children, to obey your parents. Have you ever imagined, kids, what it would be like if you never obeyed your parents? Like, not once. What if you could just stay up all night, all the time? What if you could just eat candy and that's all you ever ate? What if you could just go wherever you wanted, whenever you wanted? In about a month, all your teeth would probably be rotten out. In about a month, you'd be so tired, you're staying up so late. In about a month, you'd probably be in trouble at school because you might not go to school if your parents didn't wake you up and make you go. So do you see how obedience is a blessing to you? Your teeth don't hurt and you get good sleep and you don't get in trouble at school. So obedience is a blessing. So kids, I have three things that I want to tell you that gracious children, as you receive God's grace, gracious children know three things. Gracious children know that you are blessed as you obey. That they're, like we just talked about, there are blessings for obedience. The second thing, gracious children know that obedience comes from trust. This is true with your parents. If you trust that they care about you, that they are trying to organize your life to help you, you trust them and you obey them. It's the same with God. You trust God, so you follow him, so you obey him. And the last thing gracious children know is that God gives grace to children. Jack, baby Jack over there, God gives grace to children. Ruth, God gives grace to children. So children, I encourage you, ask God to give you grace, to be gracious children, and he will give you grace. He'll give you what you don't deserve. He'll give you everything you need to be a gracious child. So when your parents ask you to take the trash out, Joshua, or anyone else who has the trash duty, Joshua's a great trash man. He does a great job. But there might be times you just don't want to take the trash out. You're tired. You're doing something else. Ask God to give you grace to be a gracious child. Remember that Jesus gave you grace, and obey your parents. Ask and receive God's grace. So children, just like with parents, we only have one shot at being your parent. You children only have one shot at being a child. It may seem like you're a child forever, and some adults act like children longer than they should, but you're only a child once. And I want you to think about it. How you live as a child impacts the rest of your life and impacts even society, cities, countries, and this church. I want you children to think about it. It might be hard. Think about 50 years from now. 50 years from now. Most of the adults in this room, well, we don't know. We may not be here. But you, by God's grace, will be here. You may be at this church. You may have moved somewhere else and you're part of another church. But you will be the ones leading the church, leading the families. You will be the one able to tell the stories of your faith and how you got baptized and about other children who put their faith in Jesus, about the fun you had as Grace Fellowship started a youth group and it grew, about the mission trips you went on, about the families that God brought together, about how we changed the community. This is on you. This is what we are raising you up to do. So be gracious children. Imagine what God might do through you. So be gracious children, and please know that God gives grace to children. Okay, you guys did a great job listening. Good job, kids. Way to go. So before we move on to thinking about parents and adults here, future parents and current parents, let's think about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And trust his Father. Many times in the Gospels, we see that Jesus talks about he does nothing except what the Father tells him to do. He is an obedient, submissive son to his heavenly Father. God the Father is a gracious parent. There is no parent who is more gracious than the heavenly Father. When he disciplines in love. God the Father loves his children with all of his heart. with all of his soul. This is our pattern. This is the grace that allows us to be gracious parents, gracious children, is that there is a heavenly Father, there is a Son who did this perfectly for us. So parents, let's now think about you. Let's think about us. We should be gracious parents. This is our next point. Be gracious parents. So it says here, why does it say in verse 4, fathers? Why does it not say parents? Why does it not say mothers? Mothers and fathers have equal honor. They deserve and are worthy of equal honor, but the father is the head of the house. There has to be a responsibility. The buck has to stop somewhere, and in God's design, it is with the father. But fathers and mothers have equal honor before God, before children, before the world. I am reminded on Mother's Day of this wonderful verse in Proverbs 31, which says, talking about a godly mother, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. So a godly wife, a godly mother, a godly woman is worthy of honor, much more honor than we can even ever show. But it says here, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So why does it say this? Why is the first thing Paul says to fathers is don't provoke your children? Well, I think under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul knows a temptation to fathers, a temptation to be harsh, a temptation to get angry, a temptation to neglect. All of these things might provoke your children, might discourage them, might make them angry in return. So he says, do not provoke your children to anger. But he proactively and positively says what the father should do, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So discipline here is correction. Every child needs correction. Every human needs correction. Even adult children need correction. Every child needs instruction. When you think about it, children, in a sense, are a blank slate. They need to be taught. They need to be taught everything in life. And the word there for instruction actually has an implication of nurturing. So fathers are a part of the nurturing. And many times we think of mothers as the primary nurturers. And I think that is true. But fathers should nurture their children as well, just like the Heavenly Father. So there should be teaching that fathers do. There should be nurturing that fathers do. So I want us to think about several things that gracious parents do. So parents, future parents, this is for you. Gracious parents deflate tension. And there's tension, is it kind of thick? Gracious parents deflate it. It's like you're popping a balloon or letting the air out of a tire. So a question of how do we do this? An implication of this verse that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, is that parents should demand obedience from their children. When we say that, we think of a harsh person. I demand you obey me. And that is unbiblical. I believe the biblical way that fathers, mothers demand obedience from their children is softly, tenderly, patiently, graciously. This is how our Heavenly Father demands obedience of us. He shows us love. He shows us grace. His kindness leads us to repentance. And Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So, gracious parents, deflate tension. When there's tension between parent and child, you can deflate it softly from a soft attitude, from a soft word. So this is what gracious parents, as they know God's grace, they share God's grace by softly demanding obedience from their children. Second thing gracious parents do is gracious parents deflate anger. We have a deflate theme. We're deflating things here. So gracious parents deflate anger, not just tension, but even anger. And this is personal anger. I don't know about you guys, but I am tempted many times, and I give in many times to being angry with my children when they're disobedient or sometimes if they're just bothering me. I think the question we can ask parents is, who really has the authority over our children? Who has the ultimate authority over our children? Is it us? It's not. It's God. I think this can help us to not take it so personal when children disobey or when children are disrespectful. Yes, they are being disrespectful to the parent, but ultimately it's under God that we have an authority over our children, a gracious authority. In the text, it says, God says to children, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So God is the one directing the children to obey. It doesn't originate from the parent, it originates from God. It says, fathers have this instruction to not provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction, not of the parent, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It all goes back to God. He has the ultimate authority over all of our lives, including our children. And as they grow up, they will still be our children, but our authority will change as they grow up and start their own families. I think this can lead to humility in the father and the mother and less anger. I think it deflates the anger when we remember they belong to God. He has the authority. And just think about God's compassionate fatherhood. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. It says this about God. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. If God the Father, the perfect God, righteous in all he does, never sinned, if he has compassion on us, sinners though we are, shouldn't a fellow sinner, father and mother, have compassion on their fellow sinner, child? Yes, we should. We can look to God the Father. We remember his compassion on us, and we share that compassion with our children. So The third thing gracious parents deflate is anxiety. Oh, man. Is there anxiety in being a parent? Do you worry about things? Is it just me? I think the question we can ask here is, who has the ultimate responsibility for our children? Who has the ultimate responsibility for our children? Is it us, parents? No, it is God. As we saw in the text, God speaks to the children and tells them to obey. We're to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It is his authority. So there are always opportunities for stress. I think we should not think just because we're in a very young child season or an elementary school season or a teenage years season or a grown-up years season that that's the only time that there's stress. I've talked to older parents and they say, yes, it's still stressful, and maybe more so as they grow up. So when they're growing, even in the womb, when you're nursing, you're stressed about sleeping and sickness and all these things, there's opportunities for stress. With their school behavior as they get older, their success or failures in sports, bullies in the school system, those are opportunities for stress. Friends, dating, college decisions, opportunities for stress. Marriage, career, family, grandkids, the list goes on and on and on. For parents, it seems like the stress could never end. But parents, if someone else who is trustworthy, if there's someone else who's faithful, there's someone else who's good, if there's someone else who is strong, and they're the ones who are ultimately responsible. Yes, we have responsibility, but the ultimate weight of responsibility falls on someone like that. That deflates our stress. Yes, there are opportunities for stress, but each opportunity for stress for the parent is an opportunity for trust in our perfect parent and God. That he is the God of our children. We can trust him. Our job, a good way to think about our job, is just to be faithful. God is the one who gives the growth. God is a God of outcomes. So Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The last thing gracious parents know is that they should share the gospel with their children. Parents, what a treasure that we get to share Jesus, the message of Jesus, with our children. We get to share the only way for eternal life, for peace in this life, for hope in the future. We have the opportunity to share that with our children. We get to share about how there's a good creator. We get to share about how we have all sinned and fallen short. We're all disobedient children. We get to share about how God the Father sent his son, and his son was obedient for us in our place. His record counts for us. He got an A+ on every test of life, and he gives that to us as he took the punishment that we deserved on the cross. Jesus died the death we deserved, and Jesus rose again. And so Jesus' message to parents, to children, to all people is turn from your sin and come to me, and I will be your father. I will care for you and forgive you. So gracious parents share the gospel with their children. So gracious parents know these things. And the last thing, gracious parents know that God gives grace to parents. Ask him, parents, when you walk down the hallway and there's another argument you have to deal with for the millionth time, you are so mad. Remember God's grace to you. Remember all the compassion, all the patience God has shown you in Christ, and ask him to give you a little piece of that to share with your children. Yes, discipline them gently, not out of anger, but gently, lovingly, to set them back on the right track. So I have an application for families, and I mentioned this last week, and I gave to many of the families who were here last week a little devotional about family worship. I think this is the best way that we can apply all these things to be gracious parents and gracious children, is that as families, you will read the Bible together, you will pray together, you will sing together. There's no one right way to do this. But we are called, fathers, to lead in this way, to lead. We're called, mothers, to be a part of this and to lead your children in reading the Bible, in praying, in singing. We read God's word, we pray God's word, and we sing God's word. Some of the earliest memories of your children, even the young children, some of their earliest memories are of the family gathering around and praying and singing and hearing stories about God and his love. So two more applications for maybe different groups. Some who may not have children or don't yet have children. Help us. Help us raise a multitude of children in this church. Would you all pray that this church would exponentially grow in the number of children, so that we could share the love of Jesus with them? There are hundreds of children in our church who know the love of Jesus. Would you pray? Would you pray for them? Would you pray that we would be ready as a church to welcome them when they come? Would you pray that we would have wisdom, know how to go get them? Not just wait for them here, but we are going to go out. And the sports camp is one way we're going to do this. Would you pray? And then even if you don't have children, would you help us? Be invested in children's lives. Be a spiritual father, a spiritual mother to children. The last application point is if, and this has to be all of us parents, do you have regrets? Do you have things that you can remember that you really wish you didn't say to your child? That still hurts when you think about it? I do. Do we have shame for past failures? If you do, as a parent, you're forgetting something. When I have that shame, I'm forgetting something. We're forgetting the grace of our God. We're forgetting the cross of Jesus, where the Son of God was able to proclaim this for us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are all failed parents. We have all failed as children. But Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. Justice has been served. It is finished, Jesus said. So there's no condemnation, parents, if you come to Jesus. There's no condemnation, children, if you come to Jesus. No condemnation, no punishment is what that means. Because Jesus took the punishment. He suffered, he died, he rose again, and he offers forgiveness. Parents, your righteousness is not by your parenthood, how good of a parent you are. Children, your righteousness, your goodness is not based on your how good of a child you are. It's based on what Jesus did for us. And if you have either now or in the future wayward children, I think we can always have hope in Christ that the story's not over yet. We never lose hope. The story's not over yet. Continue to pray for your children. Continue to love them, to plant seeds in their lives. So, as I said at the beginning, as a parent and as a child, you only have one shot at this, right? You only have one shot to be a parent. You only have one shot to be a child. That time will pass at some point. Amelia, she was a gentle and a patient mother. She had a son, a teenage son, who for 2 years struggled greatly with worldliness, with a desire, a greedy desire just to make money, and that was all, not to live for God. And so after a time, Amelia decided that she was going to lock herself in her room and pray for her child until God gave her assurance that her child would be saved, would be forgiven, would come back to God. So for hours she cried to God. And then something changed. She started praising God. She believed that God had given her her request. At that same time, miles away, her son was at his father's library, and he read the words in one of the pamphlets, "The Finished Work of Christ." Just those words, "The Finished Work of Christ." And he understood, Jesus did it all. I just have to come back to him like a child comes back to a father. So a few years when they were actually reunited, the son and Amelia, he comes running up and says, "I have something to tell you." She says, "I know. I've been praising God. I know you've come back to Christ." And he was amazed. "How did you know?" And she told him, "I've been praying for you." Years later, this boy, amazed to know as he read through the journals of his younger sister that she had committed to praying for him for a month before that date, that she would pray 3 times a day for his salvation. So mothers, on Mother's Day, you never know how God is using your prayers for your children. Sisters, you never know how God will use your prayers for your brothers or for your sisters. Pray for them. So who is this man? Does anyone know who this man was? So maybe a few do. It's Hudson Taylor. This man, this boy, who had the godly mother, is Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China. Hundreds of missionaries followed his example. He was the Inland Mission, which is now the OMF, still in existence today. He himself was to this godly mother praying for him. Brothers and sisters, you only have one shot. And here's the final promise that will strengthen you for what God has called you to be, a gracious parent, a gracious child. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace, that you give us grace to be gracious children, to be gracious parents, because you are a gracious God. So Lord, would you give us that grace today? Would you encourage us today with what you've done for us on the cross? So we love you, Lord, and we pray in your name. Amen.